Bay Terrain, high atop Financial Beast Plaza at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. This is Mr. Michael Dean altering your locus coeruleus by bombarding your brain with rejuvenated radio waves that warm your synapses to a toasty and tasty 425 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm talking to Mr. Randy England, the Wampus Cat. How are you doing, sir?
I am so glad to be here tonight.
And Mr. Davy Barker, the Shiny Badger. Say hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
And we're connecting by Fiend Phone. This is another three-way Fiend Phone extravaganza. And actually, we're using a version of Fiend Phone that's more advanced and not available to the public yet, because we're still testing it. But, so what's up, guys? What's on your mind?
Well, I like,
I mean, I guess all kinds of things.
It gets better every day.
Yeah, it does. It does. So I want to talk about Fiend Phone and content creators, people who tell me, you're doing it wrong in the free media that I help bring into the world with Derek Slopey. What do you guys think?
It's true. You're doing it wrong. You're not satisfying all of the people all of the time. So
for no money. Wrong. Yeah. 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 So, Davy, do you have that thing up right there of, that link on the Freedom Fiend site to the comments that someone made that I want to address on the Principa de Cordia show?
I can get it open right this second.
Yep.
You want me to read the comment? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, from Michael LeCompte. And I want to say, Michael LeCompte is a good guy. He's commented a bunch on the Fiends. I'm not denigrating him by reading this comment. This comment is indicative of a lot of comments we've gotten since we came out with Fiend Phone and in beta. And generally the comments are either you're using the wrong license for your free software, or make the Mac version, Android version, or Linux version right now, or you're doing it wrong because you did it on Windows, not Linux. And what I'm going to do is the first segment of this show, first or second segment, we're going to address this, and I'm never going to answer it again. And when people complain, I'm going to cut and paste the link to this episode to them. So this is going to kill a bunch of birds with one stone. So go ahead and read this, please.
Copyleft involves government guns for open source software. It is counterproductive. It is good to hear of the progress of Fiend Phone.
Yeah. So, you know,
this is short and sweet. I'm not sure where the gun is.
Well, but, the gun is that, okay. He's confusing copyleft, which is a certain type of open source license, like the GNU license, which demands that you, it's a benevolent virus. It demands that any derivations of it use the same license or, you know, equally open license. We're actually using a different form of open source license that he would have the same complaint about because they're both backed by government guns, because they both involve usages of copyright law. So he's saying basically there should be no copyright, that it should be, you know, public domain or some made up license, like, hey man, do what you want with it. That's our license. F yeah. You know, something like that.
Right.
That, so there's two kinds of copy of open source licenses. One is copyleft, which demands that anything made from it has the same license, the same freedoms. And, the other kind is a permissive license, which is the kind we're using, the BSD license. There's a few of them. The MIT license is permissive also. It permits people to do anything with it. It's even more open and free, but people who love the copyleft versions don't like it because they say it's less open and free. It's one of those religious wars about, you know, something people have strong opinions about. And it basically allows people to do whatever they want with it, including using it in closed source software or hardware even. So, you know, if Google wanted to come out with a new, you know, phone that ran on Fiend Phone that was not open source, they could actually use Fiend Phone's software in it. So, or code. So it's more permissive, but some people don't like that because it doesn't allow you to, you know, replicate the peace virus of freedom that is the GNU license. So I don't know that Michael LeCompte really understands this. And again, I'm not picking on him. This is just the latest. I've been getting these on the Freedom Fiend site, the Fiend Phone site, on Facebook, on instant messages, on and emails. Even somebody over the phone told me this. So, like, all these people have all these opinions. And the thing is, I think a lot of people don't really understand all the ramifications of it. So read my response there, please. Randy, do you have it up or do you want to read it, Dobby? Who has it up?
I do have
I got it if you want.
Randy.
You can go ahead, Randy.
All right, then. Michael W. Dean writes, I know, but copyleft has legal meaning that people can use. Just putting no copyright has no understood meaning. Companies won't use your software. Saying copyleft is bad to use is like saying real anarchists don't use government roads. The government has a monopoly on recognizing licensing. Everything has to work off of copyright to be able to be used anywhere. Even Creative Commons rides on the back of copyright law. Anyway, we're not using copyleft license on FiendPhone. We're using another license, which is not copyleft. It's what's called a permissive open source license, BSD3. But it rides on government copyrights.
It's the BSD 3 clause license. It's not BSD version 3, but it's BSD 3 clause license.
Okay. Continue?
Yes.
But it still rides on government copyright, so your complaint would still stand. But your comment, no matter how well-meaning, is uninformed. It really is like saying real anarchists don't use government roads. Regarding the socialist gimme-gimme kids demanding make it for Mac, for Android, for Linux, right now, we cannot make it for those operating systems. But someone will, and as long as we have a recognized open source license that rides on government copyright, if we make up our own non-copyright based license, far, far less programmers and no companies will be interested in putting the hundreds of hours of their talented time into making other versions of FiendPhone. We know what we're doing is this. Thanks to the kudos.
Hang on. We know what we're doing with this. You know, like I've researched.
I should have had you read this one because you knew where the inflection. Go ahead, finish it up.
Because you're so mellow. You're a good reader, but you're so mellow. You're not putting the "and furthermore" that this really requires. So I will finish it with the.
That's because I'm the normal one.
Well, you're the attorney who's in court trying to smooth things out from the client, which would be me going, no, I've been wronged. Damn it, I demand justice. Okay, so. Thanks on the kudos on our progress, but I honestly would be making more progress if I weren't spending so much time explaining over and over and over why we do the things we do. LOL. Worms. MWD. So,
I kind of want to point out just that the people who are airing this grievance, they're really doing it in the wrong way because they're using a DNS system, which is, you know, run by the government.
Yeah.
And so they should attempt to communicate with you using something that doesn't use the government if their position is that you can't use.
You can access the FiendPhone site through the Freedom Fiend site through fiends.bit and freedomfiends.bit. And you can access the FiendPhone site through fiendphone.bit.
Well, so he should have done that.
He should not be using the government roads to get to our website
or send smoke signals.
Yeah, and the same with everybody else. And again, Michael LeCompte is not a bad guy. It's just this is the last one that came up today of many of these. So I wanted to springboard off that one. So,
Michael, let me ask one thing about this. I'm curious about it. In a stateless society where there was no copyright at all, how might you address these problems if you could not hang your hat on
we can talk about that extensively, but I would first like to finish. Let's put a pin in that because I'd first like to finish what I'm doing now in the present time before going into the Black Mirror of the not too distant future. And we are going to talk about the show Black Mirror. We're all fans. So later in the show, if you're a fan and if you haven't, you should be because, it involves screens, and we're talking about screens. Yeah, there's a guy who wrote a thing that I really like named Jason Scott, who was an OG computer guy. He was one of the first editors on Wikipedia before most people heard of Wikipedia, one of the first contributors. And he was he made a great documentary about the BBS system, the bulletin board system, the pre World Wide Web connecting of computers. And he wrote this article in 2004, which I will link in the show notes, called The Great Failure of Wikipedia. And it's kind of long, but the one line I really liked most of it, let me read this. This is what the inherent failure of Wikipedia is. It's that there's a small set of content generators and a massive amount of wonks and twiddlers, then a heaping amount of procedural whack jobs. And this is also true with, you know, making your own software company or anything. I mean, this small amount of content generators, massive amount of wonks and twiddlers, and a heaping amount of procedural whack jobs. And the massive twiddlers...
Hey, procedural whack jobs need jobs, too.
And the massive twiddlers and procedural whack jobs means that content generators stop being so and have to become content defenders. Woe be that your take on things is off from the majority. Even if you can prove something, you're now in a situation that anybody can change it. Now, I mean, that's the situation with open source software, too. But none of these people, and that's the great thing about it, but none of these people that are complaining over and over to me every day are programmers. None of them are saying, hey, you made it for Windows. That's stupid. I'm a Linux programmer. I'm going to make it for Linux and make it great. You know, they're just saying
they're twiddlers. They're twiddlers. Procedural whack job.
Yeah. They are. Yeah. And so basically what I'm saying is, if you want this made for Mac, for Android, for Linux, get out of the way. Quit bugging me. Quit telling me the same things over and over that are wrong. Make a donation, even if you don't use Windows and hate Windows. Because the more we can get this perfect for Windows, the more it's going to spread, and the more likely somebody who programs for one of those other operating systems is going to step up and make the version of it for your operating system. That's how it works. We don't have enough money to go hire those programmers, but the market will provide if you get out of my way. Get out of our way and make a contribution. Quit being a procedural whack job and a twiddler.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. So last night, Davi Barker and I decided that the Freedom Fiends are the... We're the what of talk radio? What's that weird word, Davi?
The Principia Discordia?
The what? Say it again.
The Principia Discordia?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and we decided that... We asked the question, are the Freedom Fiends a radio show disguised as a podcast disguised as a radio show, or is it a podcast disguised as a radio show disguised as a podcast? You could take that into the fourth dimension and add the third one of a radio show disguised as a podcast disguised as an internet radio show, because we're doing all three. We're broadcasting on live terrestrial radio right now. We are broadcasting on internet radio on the GCN and LRN streams, and then later
up. Are we, or is it all an elaborate hoax?
I don't know, man. After watching Black Mirror, I'm not sure what reality is anymore, I think.
If you're listening on the radio, do you know for sure that there's a podcast? And if you're listening on the podcast, do you know for sure that there's a radio show?
If you're listening on the radio, how do you know it's not some like Truman Show thing where this is just created for you and you're the only person listening? other than the people making it in some government lab somewhere.
unless at a half hour ago when the show was supposed to start, we were all too drunk to do the show. So Michael called into GCN and said, do one of the old shows. And so there is
no activate the backup podcast. Robots.
It's just the backup show.
Yeah.
And you're not listening to a live show right now.
I did a couple of those over the holidays because I had trouble making, getting people's coordinated and stuff. You know, I was, the Freedom Fiends were like, you know, for like 600 episodes without a repeat or something, without taking a day off. And, I took a few days off and I kind of liked it, man. Like this, and this Sunday, Derek J is in, New York City covering the Ross Ulbricht trial, the guy who's arrested for making a website that allows people to engage in commerce. So, you know, I could do a show on Sunday night, but I'm going to take it off, man. I could use the time off because I'm working on Fiend Phone from fiendphone.com.
So you wouldn't want you to pod fade.
I'm not going to pod fade. Man, I do more shows in a week than most podcasters do in 6 months or 3 months at least. So we're going to talk about BBS systems. Randy, what were BBS systems?
BBSs. You're asking me that because I'm the old guy, right?
Because you're old and you were on, you're not old, but you're older than me and you were on. How old are you? Can we ask you?
I'm 62 years old.
Okay.
I'm know 50.
You what?
I don't
look it. You don't look it. No.
Something or
I'm
other.
I'm 50 and Davi's like what? 17? How old are you, Davi?
34, I think.
We actually
have, I stopped paying attention.
We actually
I think it's 34.
We have a host who's 16 too. So we have 16 to you're 64, Randy?
Yeah, just 62, okay?
62. Okay.
don't put me in a grave any further than I am, okay?
So we have something for everybody. We have hosts from 16 to 62. I like that. But BBS systems were do you have something to say? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say BBS systems in my day, it stood for a bulletin board system, which a person would run on their little computer, frequently one of the early PCs back in the 80s. And this software would allow people to call in through, everybody's heard the sound, you know, that modems make when you dial into them.
Yeah, they sound like geese mating in the air while being electrocuted.
You know, that sort of thing.
Oh, thanks.
That noise that they make, and you can even listen to it. I'm sure there's places that have actually preserved that sound where you can download an MP3. But bulletin board systems, people would call into the bulletin board system on their computers through the modem on their computer. And like my first computer, not my first one, but my first PC that I got in about 86. I'd had one for about 4 years then. But in 86, the bulletin boards were starting. So I got a PC. It had a modem. It was a 1200 bit per second modem, which is unbelievably there it is. That sweet sound.
It's the backup robot
that I Well, once you got broadband, you learned to hate that sound. Now,
I wonder what a Lassie, what? Katie fell in a well? Is that what you said? Who fell in a well?
I said, what's that, R2? Timmy fell in a well?
I wonder how many people listening have no idea what that sound was. That was the sound of
the internet used to sound like.
That's what the internet used to sound like. It's what you used to do.
Yes, that's exactly right.
It's what you used to have to do to get on the computer and access it at about 1/200th the speed you do now. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the modem market. And then,
Grandpa, tell us about dial-up.
This is pre-dial-up. This is BBS's is pre-dial-up. I got on in dial-up, but yeah, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends.
So, Davi, you don't want to what?
Yes.
He started to say, and then the show came in. He said, I don't want to, I think you were going to say, I don't want to talk about anything but Black Mirror. Was that what you were going to say?
Well, yes, I don't want to talk about anything but Black Mirror, but I also don't want to spoil Black Mirror for Randy if he hasn't seen all the episodes yet.
I don't want to spoil it for everybody else.
No, I don't care.
I don't care about them. No, we can do it without being spoiler alerts for where we can give spoiler alerts about specific things. But yeah, man, Black Mirror. So talk about your conversation today, Randy, with Daryl Perry.
Oh, Daryl Perry of Peace, Love, and Liberty News, I think. If anyone's listening on this to LRN.fm.
You know his work. He's also on Free Talk Live. He's a regular co-host.
On Free Talk Live, too, but he does this news thing. And I had a kid. He's going
he's
on
a
tour,
guy.
I think.
We like him.
Yeah, he is. And he's going on a tour, and I wrote to him to tell him, hey, you know, stop by if you come through this part of the country or something like that. And, you know, I'm not on the show every night here, so I would say stop by here, but
nobody ever goes through Wyoming unless they're driving through to get to somewhere else.
it's a little ways north. But anyway, I said I'm one of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts, and then in parentheses, I said, and no offense or anything, but I said I'm the normal one. You know, I was actually being kind to myself. I think you probably referred to me as the square one. But at any rate, I said I'm the normal one. And he wrote back to me, and he was real nice about it. And, you know, I hope I get to see him at some point. But
if you're normal and you're the only one, doesn't that make you outside the norm?
Well, that's how my family is. My family.
I'm going to think about that during the next break. But anyway. Daryl wrote back, and at the end of it, he said, and oh, by the way, with the Freedom Fiends, there are no normal ones. So,
yeah,
that issue, I guess, is moot.
Well, it's Michael Dean and his weird friends, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Weirdos lead more interesting lives.
Yeah, we do. Dobby, speak up a little bit. Get more up on your mic.
I'm right here. I can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll turn to Randy down a little bit. Keep talking, guys. So tell us. Stop that. So tell us about BBS systems, Grandpa. Tell us about dial-up, Grandpa.
Well, if you wanted to get onto the computer and talk to anybody else back in those days, you had to get onto a bulletin board. It had to be local. For most people, it had to be local unless you were rich, because long-distance calls were expensive back then, but local calls were free. And some guys that started this bulletin board software, you could get on and they had message bases, you know, forums where you could talk about stuff and you could download some files. And there were some neat things you could do on the bulletin boards. A lot of the things that you do today, you know, on the internet, but it was local and just off of, like, it was like being able to hook up to one server somewhere and you called in on dial-up.
And it was kind of so like, anyway, it was like you would get phone numbers. Like if you were into, you know, The Hobbit, you'd find the phone number of the Hobbit BBS and you'd dial in with your telephone, and they had modems that were like acoustic couplers. You'd take a landline telephone and put it into this kind of cradle, a box that had like a space to put the headpiece and the microphone part in. And it would, you know, pick up it would have a little speaker and microphone in there, and it would acoustically couple the modem and make the sounds to connect to that person's BBS. And they had to have their BBS on, and they had to have an open slot. Usually, like, they could only take like 4 or 8 people at once. And you could,
or you must have been in a good sized town, Michael. In my town, there were maybe half a dozen bulletin boards, and only one of them had two lines, and the rest had one line.
Well, I was never on BBSs. I'm basically basing this mostly on Jason Scott's documentary about BBS culture. I was on the internet in '91 though, on Gopher, which was a text based protocol. Not at home either. I used to go to the San Francisco Public Library. You know, I've actually used a computer in the library, the library out by the community college where Ross Ulbricht got raided by the FBI. So there. I don't know if that's impressive, but you know, it should be holy ground now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those early acoustic modems, they ran at 300 bits per second, which is about as fast as you can read if it's printing out text. But one of the neatest things that happened back
what you mean? Like you'd pull up a text file on it, and it would load like one line at a time, and you'd have to wait for it to load, kind of like the way a high resolution picture does now on cable internet.
But it was with text. And like I said, it was about as fast as you could read. But somebody figured out back in the 80s that you could do a thing like now. I'm sorry, I hit my microphone. I shouldn't have done that. This is a teaching hospital.
It certainly is.
So a thing came along called FidoNet, where these guys that ran these bulletin boards, they called them sysops or system operators.
Sysops.
And these guys, you always assume they must have money because they could afford a second phone line to put their computer online. I mean, who could do that? And then every night their computer would make a long distance call to another FidoNet bulletin board computer, and they would send up all the new messages to that one, bring back any new ones from the one that they called, and you would be communicating with people all over the country and then all over the world. Just over the long distance phone lines, but you of course had a free call because you were just communicating with the local one. And that's the way we did, that was kind of the way most people had to do email then, because not many people were hooked up to the internet. And it was really great, and the internet just completely killed it.
Yeah, although it really drove the internet, and a lot of the people who were movers and shakers in bulletin board systems and FidoNet became early movers and shakers in the internet culture and business way early on. And what, to clarify what you're saying that on FidoNet was a grand improvement on simple BBS systems, because on FidoNet, you could actually send an email that only took 24 hours to arrive.
Well, yeah, it took time to get there because it had to go through these long distance phone calls and that. You know, the greatest software for communicating back with the bulletin board systems was right in my town that I lived in. It was called Procom software. And a couple of guys that went to the University of Missouri made that thing. And by the early 90s, I mean, you used that or you were just out of it. I mean, that was the best stuff. And, of course, the internet came in. Those guys went belly up. I think they used bulletin boards and FidoNet and that, like, in Russia or maybe some places like that. You know, there are places that don't have the internet that still do use these systems.
Yep. And somebody's got to tighten their headphones on their head. We're getting a little bit of leak. I'm hearing a tiny bit of echo. It's almost like a transatlantic phone call from when I was a kid, but much better quality. So, yeah, FidoNet, man. I actually know the guy who invented FidoNet, Tom Jennings. He was a huge fan of my band Bomb back in San Francisco. He's an interesting cat. He's born in 1955, so he's a little older than me. What year were you born, Randy? I can't do math.
1952.
52? Okay, so he's like 59 or something like that. No, something like that. But he ran a punk rock record label that was cassette only and had a zine, a fanzine, you know, a printed Xerox fanzine that went with it. He was it was called Homocore, I think. No, wait, Shred of Dignity. I'm getting them all mixed up. His house was called Shred of Dignity. It was a skate house. It was a gay skater house. And he ran a compilation cassette company label. I think it was called Homocore. I can't remember, but I know that my band Bomb had a song on one of his cassettes for the three people listening out of the, 50,000 or 20,000 to 50,000 that are listening. There's probably three out there who are Bomb completists. You know, there are probably 90 or 100 that are Bomb fans, but there are probably three that are Bomb completists. So if you don't have the Homocore cassette with the Bomb song on it, from Tom Jennings' label, Tom Jennings, the guy who started FidoNet, you're not really a Bomb completist. I don't even have it, but I'm not a Bomb completist. So, yeah, man. San Francisco.
If you're not, what hope is there for the rest of us?
That's, I don't have everything I've done. I mean, I have like digital files of it, MP3s.
Do you have a cassette player still?
I do, but it's not still. It's, I actually bought it a year ago because my sister sent me a cassette that she found. My mother died a bunch of years ago, but my sister had cleaned out the house and kept some of the stuff that was in the attic. And she finally went through all of it. And she sent me a box of things I'd sent my mother. And it was like, it was a blast from the past, man. It was like postcards from when my band was on tour in Europe. It was like, reports from grade school, which I actually scanned and put on the web. If you want to read, what a problem I had with authority when I was a child, on the Freedom Fiend site, click on the bios page. And, there's five scans of report cards and performance, evaluations from teachers complaining about me in school from like grade 7 through 12, probably. And, you know, they all basically boil down to Michael's extremely smart. And if he could comply, he could go far in school.
How far did, that work out?
Yeah. But, one of the things my sister sent me was a cassette tape that I'd made in college as part of my, like, I basically flunked out of my second year of community college. First year I did okay. I was finishing high school through college. And the second year, I just wanted to be somewhere else. And I got like four Fs and an A my last semester there and flunked out. And the A was an independent study in radio broadcast. And, I did take one semester of actual like radio broadcast class, which was taught by like, you know, a local DJ who'd retired, and I didn't learn much about radio broadcast. But the second semester I did an independent study where I didn't go to class, and I went to the school's recording studio, which was a broom closet with no acoustic tiling on the wall, with just hard walls, which is why I immediately soundproofed everything in my life after that. But with like two reel-to-reel tape recorders and a, not even a mixer. It was like a Y adapter with a volume knob on it. And I recorded this thing called the Solstice Suite, which was, you know, had four movements, one for each of the seasons, like Vivaldi, but it was just kind of like weird guitar, bass, drum, and keyboard noise. And,
listened to that.
Yeah.
I listened to that and I liked it.
I was going to say,
available on the web, on the Fiend site, right?
It's available on michaelwdean.com. I was going to say, I'm sorry you listened to it, but then you,
Is that the one that I wrote to you and said it sounded, there was a lot of it sounded a lot like Jethro Tull?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
I had to buy a cassette player for $5 at the Salvation Army so I could actually encode that into the computer. So that's why I have a cassette player.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
That's the Wampus Cat, Mr. Randy England. Mr. England, Mr. Randy England. So, tell us about dial-up, Grandpa. Are you a grandpa?
No, I have been for a year. It's awesome.
I thought you were going to say, I have been in the past, but yeah.
No, I have been for a year. It was really, really odd, but I'm enjoying it. What could, you know, go wrong?
It's like, it's all the fun of kids without any of the hassle. And, you know, if you want to mess with your kids, you can take your grandkids and fill them up with coffee, ice cream, and then send them back.
Yeah. Thanksgiving, they brought him down here, and the next day my son called back and said, he threw up for the first time in his life, you know.
Oh, precious moments. So tell us about BBS systems more.
Well, you know, we were talking about the FidoNet and how it's. I understand that it is used in some places, but mostly not.
I think it's still used some places because it's more resistant to censorship than IP-based, DNS-based webs.
I wrote a novel in 1999, really? and the internet was very new, and most people weren't on it. But it had been around, you know, pretty widely available for 5 years in most places. So when I wrote it, and it was in the kind of near future setting, and it had some kind of terrorist types in it, and they all communicated via bulletin board systems and sent encrypted messages totally out of the internet, just over the modem, the dial-up modem.
And, hey, speaking of internets, and people hate it when I interrupt my co-host, but this is breaking news. Michael LeCompte just posted on the Freedom Fiend site. He must be listening. He said, thanks for the clarification on copyleft. I also enjoy sharing Fiend's quotes like, government so small, it's theorized about by particle physicists with people I know. Worms. Yeah, that's a Davy Barker quote.
Yep. That's what I thought. That was one of Davy's most immortal lines. I've used it.
So see, when I'm more relaxed and explain myself instead of just screaming, you're wrong, go away, leave me alone, things go better and people appreciate it. I'll have to remember that. Yeah. So
there you go.
You still remember?
BBS system. Sorry. Where were we? Go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't know how much you would wanted to listen about.
Tell us what it was like. Tell us what it was like. That's what the kids want to know. What was the internet like?
It was the most awesome thing that there was when you, well, not the internet. Everybody knows what it was like when they first got on the internet.
No, they don't.
I remember about 1994 when I started hearing about the internet, even though nobody had it yet. And it hadn't come to my town and wouldn't come for another year and a half. But I got on, you could get these free 30-day trials with, from AOL. And then I would get on, and then I would have to call an AOL server. I was in a little town, so it was always long distance. But I was getting on and sneaking, half-hour calls on the internet, in like 94.
You know what just occurred to me?
What's that?
Yeah. It's really weird. There are probably people alive today who have had Facebook pages longer than they've had conscious memory. Like their parents probably made them a little baby page.
Nima's daughter, who's like 6 months or something, 9 months, has a Facebook page that I'm sure they're going to teach her to use and, be her page when she's old enough, which.
It's like a rite of passage, letting your kid change the password on their Facebook page.
Yeah. Well, there are kids that have never used, that have never had, even a laptop, let alone a desktop computer. They've only got smartphones. Which is really like, you can't really create content very easily on a smartphone. I guess you can film and record things, but it's pretty hard to edit, without using a mouse and a desk.
I would think that every modern parent would, when their child is born, they would get on the internet and reserve the domain name like babybarker.com, right?
Yeah. When we get back, one thing I want to talk about is walled gardens, which sound really good, but they're really not. And AOL was a walled garden, and Apple is a walled garden that just wants to keep you in their system. And it's not a good thing. And, like Richard Stallman said, Steve Jobs made jail cool. I listened to yesterday's show today, and we didn't really explain that. I wanted to explain walled gardens. We'll do that when we get back, and then we'll talk about Black Mirror. Black Mirror.
I'm gonna do it.
Here we go. Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild Mountain West. I never grow tired of that. In the occupied states of America. Yeah. So I've actually decided to start rotating the ads that I put in the podcast archives. Davi's clicking away. It's okay. It's part of the show. He's always creating. Sorry. You keep doing
it. How did you know that was Davi and it. Not me?
Because I think it's the sound.
A distinctive mouse.
He does.
Oh. Yeah.
But I'm gonna rotate the ads because a lot of the ads are kind of funny, jokey, like the Shiny Badges ad, which is a real ad, the Compliacin ad, which is a fake ad, the
what? But I ordered some
campaign for a longer leash, which is a kind of fake ad for a kind of real thing that's kind of a joke but kind of real, and then there's a couple others, and I realized like. If I play the same joke every episode over and over and over, people are going to get really sick of it. So I'm going to start rotating that. So, yeah, there will be probably less ads per show in the podcast archive, and they'll be rotating. And you know what I love about Fiendphone from fiendphone.com? Phone.com. Foxtrot Echo November phone.com. It actually has sliders for each user, and I'm still working that out because it's on a computer across the room, but... With Skype, when you do a three-way call, you can't easily control the volume of each person. But with Fiendphone, you kind of have your own built-in mixer. And that's a good thing.
So, yeah, with those meters, that's how you know Davi's the one that's doing the typing.
I know, because
you can see a little green meter.
His meter is fluttering. Well, you can't fool Michael at all now.
Yeah, Skype
doesn't. The whole thing is set up to spy on the co-host.
That's why I need Compliacin to settle my fluttering meter.
There was Compliacin in a Black Mirror episode. It was actually called Cupliancin or something. It was like Compliance. Cup. It was Compliance in a cup. That's what they gave.
It was actually a juice box, but okay.
Yeah. It was a juice box. It was the Soma in the juice box. All right. So we're going to talk about walled gardens. Now, I told you guys to look at this on Wikipedia, and Randy looked it up. And he's like, wait, I thought this was about technology. I'm looking at a picture of a walled garden.
Walls are technology.
They are. They're some of the oldest technology.
A very primitive technology, but one of the longest lasting.
You know, that's a criticism I've actually heard of Christianity, is that that it bases itself on a book that was written when... The when a wheelbarrow would have been a vast advancement in technology.
Come on. Now the Romans had wheels.
Huh? What?
And they had wheelbarrows.
Now, would that make Islam more advanced? Because there were many wheelbarrows in use by the time that happened.
They had
wheels. Not in the desert. Wheelbarrows don't work very well in the desert.
Wheels don't work very well in the desert.
Pull one behind your camel.
Okay, that went just a weird turn that had nothing to do with walled gardens, although religions are kind of walled gardens, some of them. Some of them are
inclusive. Closed platforms.
Closed platforms, yeah,
sort of.
Okay. Who wants to read this article, this entire article, closed path?
And I'll the whole article, very quickly.
I'll just record it, because on Wikipedia, you can upload audio versions of it. Actually, if you go to the page for cat, you know, the animal on Wikipedia, there's an audio version that's about 7 years old, that's of a very old version of that page. At the bottom of the page, there's an OGG file, which is an open source audio format. There's an OGG file of my wife reading the cat article, and I produced it and edited it.
Well, you know, Michael, if you get some of that software that allow you to highlight the text and then have it read it over the
radio. Yeah,
over
but it won't sound radio. As good as DJ, although we could... there's probably systems now that could analyze a bunch of recordings, of good recordings of her talking, and then form speech to text to speech synthesis based on her, which there is an episode of Black Mirror that takes that to a really creepy. Did you see that one, Davi?
I did see that one. That was so cool.
Yeah. Okay.
It was what the movie Transcendence should have been.
It was what the movie Her should have been. Did you see Her?
I haven't seen Her. Is it spelled just like it sounds? H-E-R?
Yep. I think it's a Spike Jonze film. It's it's about a woman who falls in love with, an artificial intelligence program and leaves her husband for it. Although this is, I don't want to do any spoiler alerts, man. Just watch Black Mirror. We'll talk about it after we talk about closed platforms. If you go to the closed platform article on Wikipedia, if you want to read along, if you're playing the home board version of the Freedom Fiends, they're also known as
you want me to read?
Walled Gardens. Yeah. Really,
I wonder
really
if
fast.
I wonder if Walled Garden is where the company Open Garden got their name.
Probably, absolutely. Anyway, what do they make?
They make like a sort of peer-to-peer network lily pad system where you can sort of farm out your Wi-Fi signal to other users so people's like signal area is larger, if that makes sense. Yeah. I'm not very tech savvy, but okay, I'll just read it.
Yep.
A closed platform, walled garden, or closed ecosystem is a software system where the carrier or service provider has control over applications, content, and media, and restricts convenient access to non-approved applications or content. This is in contrast to an open platform where consumers have unrestricted access to application, content, and much more. I like they put much in there. It's like advertising for the alternative. For example, in telecommunications, the services and applications accessible on a cell phone or any given wireless network used to be tightly controlled by the mobile operators. The mobile operators limited the applications developers that were available to users' home portals and homepages. For example, a service provider might have restricted user access to users with no prepaid money left on their account. This has long been a central issue constraining the telecommunications sector as developers face huge hurdles in making their applications available for end users. In a more extreme example, with the pre-regulated 1970s American telephone system, Bell owned all the hardware, including all phones and all the signals, and virtually even the words or information on their wires. A landmark case was Hush-A-Phone versus the United States, wherein Bell successfully sued a company producing plastic telephone.
Unsuccessfully sued.
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah, good on.
I should be a paralegal, huh, Randy? All right.
Yeah. That's one of those errors that.
that was one of those errors that completely changes 100% to the opposite of everything you read.
Now, you know, I do that a lot. Go ahead.
Davi, just say when I get to the end of the sentence, I was going to say not. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. That's like Stefan Molyneux. Didn't he do that recently?
What?
Davi, you talked about that in that email today. Like his answer to one of his critiques of saying that all women are estrogen-based parasites was he said, no, just go back and listen to that whole 3-hour podcast and substitute the word some or many for wherever I say all.
What he essentially said is that his audience should be smart enough to know that he meant that even though he didn't say it. That's what he said. And
wow,
that's absurd because there's new audiences all the time. Like he should know...
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, this is a pet peeve of mine. Using universal language to describe, you know, particles of communities.
Universal language sounds more commanding, though. Like,
yeah, whatever. You know, like, it's less accurate.
It is, but you know, when you're a pundit working on Linkbait, you know, you get more people. You get people's attention more and longer if you say things like, "Everybody listens to my show. It's the largest conversation ever." You know, that kind of stuff.
Philosophy conversation.
Yeah, which,
you know, that kind of talk, he ought to reserve that for stand-up. And when you're actually pretending to help people, you need to keep it straight.
I guarantee
you. He ought to change it to the only philosophical conversation in the world.
I guarantee right now there's somebody listening.
By the only philosopher.
There is somebody listening. I know the type of people, but there is somebody listening to this show right now who's like, yeah, I got sick of the Freedom Fiends just talking about other libertarians they don't like. But, you know, I heard that they're not doing that so much anymore. And then they listen to the show and they're like, man, this is kind of cool. They're talking about open source software and Black Mirror and all sorts of stuff. And maybe they've changed. Nope. There they go.
Sorry to disappoint.
Mid-sentence, they go into Molyneux bashing.
Do you want me to go back to Bell?
Yes, please.
Bell unsuccessfully sued a company producing plastic telephone attachments. In the case of Bell, it was an openly government sanctioned and regulated monopoly by the Communications Act of 1934. More generally, a walled garden can refer to a closed or exclusive set of information services provided by users, similar to a real walled garden. And there's a link to the site we were at before with walls and plants. A user in a walled garden is unable to escape this area unless it is through the designated exit points
where
the walls are removed.
So are we talking about Apple here? Is that what this
well,
is?
Yeah, we're talking about Apple.
There's Apple. There's Amazon Kindles. You know, they can't read stuff outside the ecosystem.
Apple banned all the Bitcoin applications for a while. Amazon Kindle removed 1984 for a little while.
Really? Why? That's creepy.
I don't know. It was a copyright issue, I think.
Did they remove Fahrenheit 451, too? And like just have it virtually like go up in a puff of virtual smoke on your screen.
We have to update the title with the temperature at which motherboards burn.
Yeah, so here's the thing, man. Anybody who says to me that Apple stuff is better than Windows, they're
wrong.
It's
a gilded cage.
It is, man. It is a gilded cage. You know, which reminds me of an episode of Black Mirror, the one that Randy saw. Everybody lives in a gilded cage. Yeah, man. When you say to me, as some people do in their leftist religiosity, basically when someone says, oh, Windows sucks, man. Apple's great. They are a victim of marketing. They really are. Because Apple's a walled garden that doesn't play well with others. And the thing is, at this point, Windows systems are much less a walled garden than Macintosh systems. The security is higher, and they're really cheap compared to Apple stuff for the same amount of power. And when people say that you should be on, you know, make my thing for Linux, make your thing for Linux. First of all, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you're really a Linux power user, you wouldn't complain. You just make it, because that's the real Linux users. And that's not really...
I'll give you a perfect example of the consequences of a walled garden. I've said before, I was a Mac user for the 5 years that I was in art school.
And then
I converted back to PC, right?
And you graduated
to
PC.
I remember my first year, to get on the internet in the dorms, I needed an Ethernet card. And this was like in all the tutoring stuff. And I went to the store, and there were dozens of versions of PC Ethernet cards, and there was one version of Apple Ethernet cards, and it was five times as expensive.
There you go, man. But the leftists who are victims of marketing would pay it and say, I'm superior.
Yeah. Well, leftists love monopolies.
They do.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Freedom Fiends. Washing your brains. Washing your brains since 2011. Randy said something about Warsh and something, and I said, Warsh. And he said, I'm making fun of him because he's from Missouri. Right, Randy? Randy?
You do that frequently.
I do not, man. I like you and I respect you.
Yeah. I'm the square guy, I know.
Yeah. So we're talking about walled gardens during the break, but we'll get back to that. We had a little sidestep here, and it was to, what was it to? Oh, it was to Reddit. I was talking about how somebody posted on Reddit something about FiendPhone, and I did turn up the treble on us, on me and my co-host. It probably sounds a little better now. I had it down for something else earlier today. There's so much going on here, man. I can't keep track of it all. So somebody posted about FiendPhone on Reddit, and people were asking questions, and of course one of them is, when are you going to make it for Mac? But, you know, I went on there and said, I'm the development team of this, and if you have any questions, I'll answer them. And I answered the questions that had been asked, and people asked more questions. Kind of an impromptu ask me anything on Reddit without having to jump through the hoops. It's had like 21 upvotes but it's only showing 7 upvotes. But that means that 14 people clicked downvote on it. It's got to be people who that don't like me, because who would be like, "Oh, somebody invented this neat new thing that's never been done and they're giving it away free." Dislike. Who could it I don't know who it could be, man.
What kind of a low-life bottom feeder would go to something like Fiendphone, which is really a neat thing, and downvote it?
Chris Cantwell, Freedomain Radio.
I don't get it.
People that I've criticized rightfully.
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what. I just brought that up, Michael, and I just upvoted it. Now you've got 7 upvotes.
Oh, so I'm gaming the system. Oh,
you are gaming the system.
Well, I had 7. I had 7 when the show started. So you say I had 6. So that means someone downvoted during the show.
It's going down as we go. And of course, the next thing they're going to say is that this is why Michael has a dozen co-hosts to get them to upvote everything on Reddit.
Yeah, Davi and I are considering. And you know, there are people that listen to us just to hate us, so they're probably going to run up and downvote it now, but the free market will prevail. And Davi and I are working on another comedic ad. I said I didn't want to do it, but then I thought about it. I like the idea. I think we should get MK in on this, Davi, of writing an ad that's like,
she's the right voice for it.
For only pennies. She should help write it, though, because it's an ad for donate money to libertarian welfare whores. And it's going to be like, for only pennies a day, you can get your own you can sponsor your own libertarian welfare whore, and he'll like your things on Facebook or something like that. I don't know.
Wasn't that Welfare Queens?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oops.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Libertarian crackheads. No, okay. So where did you go, psycho boy? That's a line from Fight Club, Davi. Do you recognize it?
I do.
I think it's when he beats the heck out of Jared Leto, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Where did you go, psycho boy?
I wanted to destroy something beautiful.
Yeah, I wanted to destroy something beautiful. Yeah. All right, so walled gardens. We're talking about closed systems. And Linux is not a walled garden. And that's one of the beauties of it, is like anybody can change it, can do whatever they want with it, can make it, can examine the code of it. And it's free. But here's the thing. Linux is an open garden, but people who are, there's a certain variety of Linux user that kind of mentally makes it a closed garden. It's the people who run around from website to website putting out brush fires of someone saying something good about Windows. A really common example is like, okay, I was editing the Guns and Weed movie, working on Windows with my Adobe Premiere, and I had a question about how to do something in it. And I posted it on Facebook. This is back when I had 3,500 friends before I left, and now I don't even care, and I don't know how many friends. Whatever number of friends I have now, like, the closed garden of Facebook is not letting most of them see what I post because they've changed the algorithms. So I posted this, and like, you know, a couple of people said, oh, I don't know, I used to use Premiere, but I don't remember. Somebody else said, well, try this website, it might tell you. And then somebody jumped on there and said, throw away your PC and buy a Linux system and use this Linux operating system. And I'm like, what a ridiculous comment for someone who is seeking a question to an answer of a time sensitive, like, I'm in deadline. You know, I said I was in deadline, like finishing this movie, and was having a problem outputting something. And that's just ridiculous opportunistic evangelizing for a religion. I mean, that's like if you posted, oh, I just lost my job, anybody know of any job openings? And somebody you didn't know jumped on there and said, if you follow the word of Jesus Christ, Lord, our Savior, good things will come to you. Like, that's not the answer you need when you're looking for a job. Okay? Their answer is throw away your computer and start the whole thing over on a different operating system with software you've never used.
Never heard of a dual boot system? What kind of an idiot was this?
No, but even so, that was not the answer. It's like saying, oh, you're having a problem with your Ford car? Get an electric car. You know? It's ridiculous.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So the basic The redemption in the third act of my ranting about people complaining about what operating system we're programming for free, what how we're building the roads for free, or what license we're using is this. You don't have to make walled gardens out of things with mental things. Like people who say, oh, you should be using Linux. No, we should be using Windows because we're trying to reach as many people as possible. And a much higher percentage of people use Windows for computers than Mac or Linux, especially Linux. And Linux is a great system. I like it. I have a computer running Linux only, not even dual boot. But I don't have a Linux programmer on my team that's willing to work for, you know, whatever I can raise money for him and hand him. So any Linux programmer that wants to step up and do that. But here's the thing. And the thing about the operating system is like, or the license, like we're using the license we're going to use. We understand what we're using, why we're using it, why we're using that specific open source license, which is basically because it's the only one that's really compatible with all the licensing on the open source components that we use for tiny parts of FiendPhone within it. Because we didn't want
to. You're talking about like for the codec.
Yeah, for the codec and for N-Audio and probably for the port forwarding that we're going to use.
So you really don't have the liberty to make it any more open than it is because of those limitations.
Yeah, we can't use a GNU public license. It's not compatible. According to Richard Stallman, who invented the GNU license and is the expert, it's not compatible with the BSD license. But the BSD license is compatible with the BSD license, which covers Opus, which covers the Microsoft something public license or open source license, I forget what it's called, that covers N-Audio, and the MIT license that covers the framework that I forget the name of it, that we're going to use for port forwarding probably. So it's the license we have to use to get the other thing to happen, which is people to be able to program the other operating system versions of this. So we know what we're doing. Anybody who says, you're doing it wrong, really doesn't understand what they're talking about. They're parroting things they've heard. They probably don't really even know what the word open source means, or if they do, they don't know the nuances of it and the different flavors of it and how they play with each other. And anybody who says, you should be using Linux, here's the problem with saying you should be using Linux in that kind of closed garden mentality of if you're not using Linux, you're not cool. It's kind of like the against me argument. You know, it's kind of like if you're not using Linux, you're a bad person. Here's the thing. Most people use Windows. So if you want to release something to reach the largest number of people, you want to use Windows and the other systems will follow. People will go make them. And I don't have a Linux programmer on the team. I don't have a Mac programmer. We don't have an Android programmer. So we used what was available, which is this brilliant guy, Derek Slopey, who solved all these problems to create this free system that works the way we need it to work. And we're giving it away to the world the way we want. So if you don't like it, make your own system from it because you can. Yeah.
Worms.
I understand.
Yeah. I do. I grok that. Yeah, man. Yeah. People. Oh, you have an update on the Reddits after the break. What's the update, Randy?
Oh, the updates on the Reddits. Well, I told you that I upvoted you, and then I got on a little bit later, and it had downvoted again. It went from, I put it up to 7, it went down to 6, but I can now announce that it's back up to 8. There is a
battle war
going on out there. There's a war going on.
But it's interesting to me, because literally that means there are people listening to the show because they hate the Fiends. Like they're well, on here.
Going, no, we're, you're in the positive. Oh, you're in the black.
Oh,
here.
I know. But the fact that somebody downvoted it right after we talked about it, there are people who listen to the Fiends not because they like it, but because they're like, what are those SOBs going to do next?
Oh, Michael, you're nobody until somebody hates you.
That's true. There was
a
book.
I think Dean Martin sang that once.
Yeah, there was a book about Hollywood that was called You're Nobody in Hollywood Till Someone Wants You Dead. And I get death threats every once in a while. So I think we're doing good. We're doing God's work here. So we wanted to move on to Black Mirror. Davi, what is Black Mirror?
Black Mirror is a show, I guess it's BBC, it's British, whatever it is, but it's essentially, it's a dystopian anthology series, that's what they call it, which means that the episodes are standalone, kind of like the Twilight Zone,
yeah,
but each one is a different kind of dystopia, kind of like 1984.
Yeah, it's not a serial, like they don't have a storyline going from one to the other, and they have all different really good actors that I've never heard of in all of them. I think there's one actor I recognize in it. In the episode where they're hunting people, and I don't want to do any, I would say spoiler alert for this whole section, but we're going to try not to spoil much. But
in, because I haven't seen most of them.
And either. We care about you. We don't care about anybody else. We don't even know anyone else is listening. We imagine they're not. So in the episode where they're hunting people, the guy who's kind of the presenter, you know, he's the guy with the gun, but he's also the guy who's the presenter at the end. Isn't that the guy who played Ringo in Pulp Fiction? You know, Honey Bunny and Ringo, the guys who are the couple that's robbing the restaurant at the beginning and end of it.
I don't know. I'd have to check.
I'm pretty sure that's the same actor.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of...
Wasn't that guy kind of tweaky?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's playing like a drug addict robbing people at gunpoint on a whim.
So here's the thing with this show. For some people, there are people like me who saw the first episode and thought it was the greatest piece of political satire in the last 50 years. And, you know, the rest of the episodes are good, but that first one is a real shining, you know, joke on a hill. And other people are like, man, I love this show. It's so cool. But that first episode, man, that was weird. I don't know about
that. And one of your bases for confirming your bias that the first episode is the best one, which I don't agree with, is
it's objectively the best.
Because why?
Because it has the most viewers.
Yeah, and I think that's because a lot of people go look at this show because their weird friend says, man, you got to check out the show. They watch the first episode and go, that was weird. I'm never watching that again. So there's a big drop off after the first. That's why it has the most hits.
Yeah, it goes from 2 million to 1.5 million from episode one to episode two.
Well, there's only about 7 episodes. That's how the Brits do it. They do mini series. Like the original House of Cards was, you know, the UK that the American was based on. And I would have to... disagree that anything Black Mirror did is the greatest political satire ever, because House of Cards, the American one especially, but even the British one is. Have you seen the British one or the American one?
No, I haven't. But those are both episodic, aren't they? Like, totally, this is a one shot. This is like, it's on YouTube. You go there and you watch it for 45 minutes and Netflix, your life has changed forever. It cannot be unseen.
Yeah. And the basic premise, the reason it's called Black Mirror is it's all about technology's influence on people's lives, positive and negative. And a black mirror is a screen when it's turned off, like a TV screen or a computer or a mobile phone. You know, literally, like, it's black and you can see yourself in it. So it's Black Mirror. But it's also, what did you say about it? The double meaning.
I said it's also about, it's showing the audience a sort of negative reflection of itself. Because in a lot of the dystopian worlds that it presents, the media is sort of the bad guy, but the media is empowered by the viewer. Yeah. And so in a way, the show is picking on you as the viewer for watching.
It kind of is. And it's my description of it would be, it's like the Twilight Zone where everyone's got an Android phone and the main writer is Hubert Selby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there was a movie. I don't remember what it was called, but the premise was there would be murders if people kept watching the murders. And if people stopped watching the murders would stop. And so it was like the viewers were responsible for the kills. Have you ever heard of this premise?
No.
Anyway, that's the kind of premise that's in this show. They haven't done an episode quite like that, but that's the kind of thing.
The one where they're
hunting
people is kind of like that. But
yeah,
the thing that the cute girl with the funny hat says is very true, is that that impulse was always in people. The rules just changed, you know, which kind of argues against anarchy, because people say, oh, you know, if there were no police, people wouldn't start murdering their neighbors. But, you know, if there wasn't something, people would start murdering their neighbors, I think. I agree with the girl. But I think the something is everyone's armed. And it's England, so the only people armed are one person with a double-barreled shotgun and some Alice in Wonderland with an electric, battery-operated electric turkey slicer.
Yeah.
So, Randy, you watched the second episode. What was it called?
15 million credits or merits, I think.
And, you know,
was.
I've said in, I think this that episode kind of confirms something I've said, a theory I have, is that if nanny laws keep being added the way they're added, we're going to get to the point where we all just sit in a cubicle and run on a treadmill for the government. And that's kind of what the premise of that one is. Although,
well, it's not a spoiler to say that most of the people apparently in this world, their job was to sit on a treadmill and generate electricity.
On a stationary bike in a gym. Yeah. I mean, they get to leave their cubicle, but literally they live in a cubicle and everything is high tech. You know, that kind of stuff, the future where, and Black Mirror seems to take place in somewhere between like the present and the not too distant future. Like, you know, now to like 10 years from now, which
it's like the present plus one technology.
It is. Usually. Yeah, it is exactly that. And the thing that's the most disturbing to me about Black Mirror, first of all, the cinematography is stunning. It is stellar. And really, without it being that stellar, this wouldn't really work as well for me. It's so cinematographic. It's so beautifully shot, but so ordinary at the same time. That's the other thing that's really disturbing to me. Like, usually dystopian movies and TV, it's like things are vastly different, you know? But in this, it's like things look exactly the same as they do now, but with one tiny difference. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I go back to Rollerball, you know, the 70s dystopian movie. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like the first reality show, you know. It was a movie about a game where the whole world watches and, you know, people try to kill each other, basically.
It was also a really awesome video game.
I'll bet. Yeah, man. Black Mirror. Wow. I'm altered for life, man. I can't.
So can we talk about the second episode? Randy, you want to summarize it for us since it's the one you know?
Okay, spoiler alert.
Well, yeah, but this would spoil everybody else. But I guess they don't have to listen, do they? Because
no, they can.
I'm the only one that was a captive audience here, I suppose.
I got to say, though, you watched the second one because I said, and this is a spoiler alert, I'd recommend you skip the first one unless you want to see the Prime Minister of England make love to a pig on nationwide TV.
And they, well, what they didn't really say about me.
They didn't really show it.
I took your advice and I watched the second one. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back for the redemption in the Black Mirror after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Uh-huh. And the Reddit is down to 6 upvotes. 2 people downvoted it during the break.
Man, you guys are like Reddit day traders.
Day trading on our integrity.
We will keep reporting on this till the end of the day. So get your vote in.
It's how you know it's live.
We don't often recommend that you vote
in the show Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip that I really like a lot. It's done by the guy who does The Newsroom and written by that guy. He also did the Social Network movie, wrote that, and he did the West Wing. There's a scene in there where they have like a Saturday Night Live type show and they need to do a correction for the West Coast feed because they found out something they broadcast was plagiarized and they need to prove it's live, you know, and not like part of a skit or something. So it's from the news desk at the funny news thing on the Saturday Night Live type show. And they need to have a sports score. And you know, it's like 1 a.m. on the East Coast. They find the only game they can find that's being played is a cricket match in India. So they give the cricket score and the Bangalore Union Cricketers are up by 4 points, you know, to prove it's live. I think we just did that with with Reddit. So what do you guys want to say about Black Mirror? I do want to say that Robert Downey Jr. has optioned the second episode of Black Mirror to make it into a movie. And I am really going to look forward to that. If that happens.
Is that the one that's like Strange Days?
Yes. Where they have the grain in their head.
Yeah. They record their memories.
And then there's one
that one's really cool.
There's one lady that doesn't have it. And she's like, they're at the dinner party. They're like, wait, you've had this implant removed from your brain? I mean, they're talking to her.
That's so primitive, relying on your biological memories.
I know. It's the same. It's the same way someone would react, you know, if you were at a dinner party at an intellectual's house in Manhattan and you said that, you know, I live in the woods and don't use electricity and, you know, grow my own food and make my own soap from the bones of my enemies. No.
There was some movie or TV show that was kind of like that, where everybody had implants in their head and they could instantly access any information they wanted. And then when the technology went down, the guy who knew how to read turned out to be the smartest guy in the world.
Is that, there's a Twilight Zone. Oh, there's a Twilight Zone where somebody becomes the last man on Earth and he loves it because he's a book nerd.
That's an old Twilight Zone.
Yeah. That's what it's called. Yeah, is it All the Time in the World?
Yeah.
And embraces
the spoiler, right?
All the time I need. Yeah, you don't really need a spoiler alert for something that's 50 years old, but go ahead.
Well, he's the last man on Earth. And he's at the, New York Public Library or something.
He's a nerd. He likes to read. And he's like, finally.
He likes to read.
I can read.
And he's even happy all the people that are gone.
And the last thing that happens, he drops his glasses and they break.
Yeah.
And assuming
he can't find
it. It's not that tragic if you think about it. I mean, like, if you really were the last man on Earth and you were in New York, I'm sure you could find some other glasses.
Yeah, you would just walk down the street stumbling over corpses.
You're just ruining the story now.
Yeah, I would just walk down the street stumbling over corpses and feel them and feel their faces and try their glasses.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Dobby, he's the last man on Earth wearing the last pair of glasses on Earth.
Why is it the last pair of glasses on Earth?
Are the other people
that makes
dead?
The story work, so you can't ruin it.
It's a plot device. Okay. They should have gouged his eyes out. That would have made it more believable. He should have tripped and fallen on a piece of rebar.
He doesn't like people. He doesn't miss people because they're not in his books. It's kind of like the version now of like how people can't talk to each other unless it's through screens, which is kind of a main motif in Black Mirror.
Or through Fiend Phone. Fiend
Phone. Did you ever see the Family Guy where Brian, the dog, is in a bar full of women trying to pick up women, and he's like, "Hi, baby, I'm an author." And she's like, "What's that?" And she never looks up from her little cell phone she's tweeting on.
No, and, I don't remember that.
And he says, "Oh, well, I write books." And she doesn't look up, keeps tweeting, goes, "What's a book?"
Books, what's
and he
that?
Says, "It's like the internet printed on mashed up trees." And she says, "Weird. Want to go have sex in the bathroom?" Are we still family friendly? I don't know. I think we are.
No, it's Family Guy. Of course it's family friendly.
There you go. It's approved. We got bona fides.
So go to YouTube and look up Black Mirror, because they're all there.
And they're all great.
Netflix.
They're all great.
Netflix too, if you have Netflix, but I don't know. Oh, I like doing it for free.
And Reddit is back up to 8.
All right.
I think one person's just upvoting it and downvoting it themselves. You can take your own vote away. If two people did that, two people could have been doing this to mess with us. All right. It's been a great show, guys. And
hey, worms.
Worms. We'll be back every day until drone. This went fast, man. Good show. Black Mirror is also on Netflix. If you want to watch it in better resolution than YouTube.
Oh, it looks great. It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.